So who spent a lot of time with sheep? Show of hands. It's a little bit rare for those of us who live in an urban context to have a lot of experience with sheep. I didn't know that much about sheep. My grandparents lived in the countryside, but it was mostly dairy area, so when we went out and visit them, we'd go past fields of cows, not fields of sheep. And the first time that I really spent much time, you know, paying attention to sheep was when I was spending 7 weeks on the island of Iona with the Iona community. And there are sheep all over the tiny island. And one day as I was walking between the abbey where the worship was and the house where I was staying, I noticed a sheep that was kneeling, like kneeling on its front legs in order to eat some grass, because apparently it's too much work to stand up and eat. Why not kneel while you're eating grass? So that was my first sort of great insight into the wisdom of sheep. Don't push yourself too hard. Take a break. And the other thing that I noticed was a group of sheep walking through a field. And the way that they were walking was in a row, one after another, and picking their way through. It wasn't a flat field. Iona doesn't have sort of the flat fields we imagine in our North American context. It's a little bit hilly. There's some grasses sticking up. It gets boggy in places. And they were following one after the other because, of course, that way you know the route is safe. You've already got your leader stepping through the way, making sure the route is good, and then every other sheep can follow confidently, knowing that that route is safe. Well, that's another piece of wisdom for our own lives, isn't it? Following the model that others bring, a way of living or moving or working that we know will bring good results, and trying to emulate that. Another instance of the wisdom of sheep. We're in creation time. For those of you who were here last week, I told you that creation time is a time when we celebrate the natural world, the world around us. That includes ourselves. We're part of creation. And we also think about our responsibility to creation. It's not just celebrating the beauty, but thinking about what's our responsibility as a part of the earth. And as you heard Tanya say, this is something that our Sunday school is discussing downstairs, and will be over the next few weeks as we continue this theme. Last week we talked about what is our starting point. Are we starting out of guilt or fear? Or are we starting out of thanksgiving, out of a celebration of the beauty that we witness in the flowers, in our gardens, in the parks as we walk through the city, or when we're outside of the city, in the fields and the forests and the streams, that beauty of creation that surrounds us. And if that's our starting point, it nurtures the work that we do, our acts of responsibility and care. The theme this week, last week was Enjoy My Songs, songs of birds, songs of choirs. This week it's Seek My Intelligence. Those are the words we are offered from creation. Seek my intelligence. And we're offered this image of sheep, but it is not just sheep. It's all of creation that offers us wisdom. So what is the wisdom, the intelligence that we can seek from the natural world? And why bother doing that? Well, one of the things that it's useful to look to nature for is a sense of priorities, a sense of what is most important. And we heard in that reading a list of priorities. All right, what were the things that were named? Were you paying attention? Okay, think of sheep. What's important?
Feeding themselves.
Feeding, right. Food. Good. What else? It's not a very long list. You should be able to get it pretty quickly.
Care.
Safety, care. Mm-hmm. Shelter. Mm-hmm. Water. I think you're almost through the list. Anything else? A shepherd? Nurture? Love? Ah, why not throw love in? Okay. Yeah? Safety, yes. Okay, so we've got food and water, shelter and safety, care, and a leader and a shepherd. Okay, so we're doing pretty well. The one that you...
Nurturing,
yep, so that comes in with the care, yeah. Okay, the one that you didn't name, that's on my list, is justice. Right? So food and water are basics of life. Shelter, protection from the dangers, care and safety, and then justice. Making sure that we don't just receive these things and then not have space for others to receive them as well. Right? That's the wisdom of a group of sheep. All of the sheep follow one after another. All of the sheep share the grass and the waters. They're cared for and protected, but not just as individuals, as part of an image of what's possible, justice for all, for that whole community. When we expand that, that's justice for all. Those are our basics. Those are our priorities. Food and water, shelter, care, that emotional care and protection, and justice for others. Now, are those our priorities? Is that the list that we hold to, that we spend our time and our energy on in our own lives? What else are we adding to that list? What else is getting in the way of those basics, those essentials? All right, so the wisdom of nature about where should our priorities be? Where else do we learn the wisdom of creation? Where else do we see the wisdom of nature? It doesn't come up as much here. It does come up a lot in images of sheep and shepherds, though. And I'll mention it, which is the presence of death. The presence of death as a part of life. Comes up in the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death." Death is a part of life. Now, our poets who write about nature write all sorts of beautiful poems about daffodils and clouds and fields and songs, but they also write about nature as something where death is a part of the natural order. Death isn't some surprise that isn't talked about or acknowledged. No, animals die to feed other animals. Death is a part of that cycle of life. Tennyson's "Nature red with tooth and claw" isn't necessarily a criticism, but an acknowledgement that that's the way things are. And sometimes in our society now, we spend a lot of time pretending that that's not the case. Thinking what we need to hold on to is youth and beauty, and pretending that life is the only good thing, that death doesn't exist or isn't real or is the worst thing imaginable and shouldn't be embraced as part of what life is. That's not easy work. It's not easy to say or do, but it is the role of churches to say that that's true. That we will die, that animals will die, and trees will die. And as much as we might try to nurture and care for ourselves and for others and for the magnolia in front of that door there, eventually its life will come to an end. And that is part of life. If we don't hide that, if we don't refuse to talk about it, then we can share in that part of life together as well. In our remembrances and worship, in our funerals and memorials and celebration of life services that acknowledge the cycle of life that we are a part of. It's not easy work, but it is easier when it is shared. It is easier when it is experienced together as a community, rather than alone, on our own, pretending that somehow we have to just deal with it as solitary beings. Which leads me to the third point of wisdom that we might see or learn today from creation. Now, you might have more. You can tell me more. I can put them up on Emily's weekday wonderings. But the third one I wanted to name was the importance of community. We hear about the flock of sheep, not a single sheep, but a flock of sheep resting and eating and being cared for together. And in fact, the shepherd spends time gathering those scattered sheep, gathering that community back together. Why were they scattered? Was it because of death? Was it because of differences of opinion, differences about what should happen in worship, or how justice should be taken, lived out in the world? Was it because some of the sheep were really annoying, and the other sheep didn't want to be around them? Well, okay, probably all those reasons at different times. But the shepherd gathers those sheep together. Even though some of the sheep were annoying and they had different ideas about God and how we should live faithfully in the world, they're gathered together as a community. And it's not just sheep that gather together. It's all sorts of animals. In fact, it's perhaps more common for animals to be living as communities in some way, from our ants to our flocks of geese, that pass off that, once again, pass off that leadership role as they fly south and north again each year, breaking the wind. You know what I mean. Parting the winds before them as they fly. But working together, because that journey wouldn't be possible if one goose was trying to do it alone. But together it is. Finding the safe paths would be much more treacherous if one sheep was doing it alone than when they are together. So we learn about priorities. We learn about acknowledging all of what is a part of life. We learn about the importance of experiencing these things and living through what we do as a community. As a diverse and varied and yet caring and compassionate community. Yesterday on As It Happens, I was listening to an interview with a goat farmer who has started goat yoga classes. Did you hear this? It was on CBC yesterday. Goat yoga. So she's a goat farmer, she has fields with goats frolicking around, and she has a yoga instructor who comes and teaches a yoga class out in the fields. And these classes have become wildly popular. She has a wait list of about 500 people right now, and, you know, they're going to be resuming in the spring because it's coming up to winter. And she said, I think they're so popular because when you're around goats, you just have to be happy. They're so friendly. They just want to come and sit on your lap. Usually they don't try to eat the yoga mats unless they have flower designs on them. But people just come and they're able to express and release their emotions and be grounded in that practice. There's sort of a freedom that was expressed in this interview about goat yoga. Now, whether or not we want to do goat yoga, we might turn to that same idea, that celebration of the goodness of life, of that just embracing each other's presence. Not getting caught up in all of the more complicated things that are in the way. Not ignoring them, but not dwelling on them either. Saying that's true, and also true is the goodness that is here right now. So for this wisdom that we learn every day from the created world, that we continue to learn every day as we hear birds or visit a field of sheep or notice the ducks and raccoons and foxes in our neighborhoods or our valleys, let us give thanks and let us be renewed for the work that we are a part of too. Amen.